This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. Welcome to another Table Talk. We are continuing our study in Ephesians, and we are going to look at verses 3 to 6, and we're probably only going to cover verse 3 today. I'm going to read to you a very literal translation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing that can be called spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. These blessings are in accord with the fact that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world or the overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and unblemished before Him in love, having predestinated us unto son placing through Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, and this leads to the applause of the glory of His grace, in which He hath highly favored us in the Beloved. Now, in reading Ephesians 1, 3-6, ask yourself these questions in this passage. Who, what, where, when, why, how? And the answers are as follows. Who, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What, all spiritual blessings. When, before the overthrow of the world. Where? In the heavenly places. Why? God's love and His good pleasure. How? By adoption in Christ the Beloved. So ponder those questions and answers and read these verses 3 to 6 over and over again. In verses 3 to 6, we have the first part of the threefold praise and glory that we saw in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6 is the Father's will. Ephesians 1, 7 through 12 is the Son's work of redemption. And Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 is the seal of God's Spirit. And each section ends with the phrase praise and glory. And you're going to find as you study Ephesians that there are multiples of three throughout it, and we'll bring these out as we go through it. Here in verses 3 to 6, we have the Father's purpose before the overthrow of the world. Now, before the overthrow of the world is a technical term, and I can't get into all the details now. But let me just say this, before the overthrow of the world goes back to Genesis 1 verse 2, where the earth became without form and void. So it's a unique time frame, and we'll get into that in another program. Now, last time we talked about the position of the Gentile during Acts. We saw that when Israel was set aside, so was their hope. And the Gentile was partaker of Israel's hope during Acts. So what would a Gentile do now that Israel has been set aside? And this is where Ephesians comes in. Notice verse 3. Paul starts out with the word blessed, and the word blessed in the Greek is a word that means to speak well of. Paul speaks well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul just bursts out, as it were, with praise to our Father. He doesn't ask for anything. He is about to tell us about the greatest truths that have been hidden away from ages and generations and hidden in God. Paul had God's Spirit, remember, so it is almost as if God Himself is bursting forth here. He had a secret that he kept for so long, now he's venting it out, as it were. Have you ever held a great secret, and it's like having a present you want to give to somebody, but you can't do it to a certain day, and you can't wait to see the look on their face when they get this present? It's almost as if God Himself had a secret that He kept so long that He Himself couldn't wait to burst it forth, to open it up to us and tell us. And this is what Paul is doing in Ephesians. This is the first time that God is telling us about the great secret that He had of the greatest blessings for mankind. Some think that prayer is just asking God for stuff, but Paul here just bursts forth with praise. Now you yourself, why not just say to Him today, "You are wonderful, blessed be God." Speak well of God today. When we do this, murmuring and complaining will recede into the background. And remember this, Paul is writing from a Roman prison, and when you read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, you'd never know it because he's so full of praise. The blessings of the mystery will make a prison a place of glory in your own heart. It may not feel good in your body, but it'll give you peace and joy. The blessings of the mystery will give you peace no matter what circumstances you're in. Ponder that one. Also, we read that He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1:3. We will see that the divine titles are important and they're relative. In other words, the titles are relational. God only reveals Himself in relationship to His creatures, so the term God and Father have meaning. They have characteristics in relation to men. The two great prayers in Ephesians are addressed first to the God of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1, and the other prayer in Ephesians 3 is addressed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see in chapter 1 the subject of that prayer is God's power, and in chapter 3 it's in a family atmosphere. And this is also in keeping with the divine titles, God for power and Father for family. Also in this section here, we're going to see that God is in view in verse 4 when he chooses us before the foundation of the world to be unblemished. And in verse 5, the issue is sonship, so he is the Father there. So these titles are very important to distinguish. I would look in the back of the companion Bible appendices where you're going to see all the divine names and titles listed. It's a great study. Now notice next all spiritual blessings. Nothing is left out. Spiritual is a misused word today. Some think it means holy or some quality of holiness. But if you look in the entire Old Testament, it is never once used of any man of God. The only reference I can find is the spiritual man is mad. And in Ephesians 6, we read about spiritual wickedness. So we see that spiritual is not some quality of goodness or righteousness. However, sometimes the best way to discover a word is to see its opposite. So when we look in Ephesians 6, the opposite of spiritual is flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness. So the opposite of spiritual is flesh and blood. So we have spiritual blessings. That means they are blessings that are not flesh and blood. And what that means is that they are not part of the present order of things. We can't measure our blessings with any earthly standard. It is not money, health, wealth, or even the supernatural earthly gifts of the Acts period. Those were flesh and blood gifts. They were spiritual in character, but they could be measured here on earth. You can feel and touch them. If you read in Deuteronomy 28, Israel was blessed with everything earthly. They had a full barn and health promised to them. But we have every blessing that can be called spiritual. Remember, Paul was writing from a Roman prison. He had no bank account or money to show for all his efforts, but he had all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, these spiritual blessings are connected with the place of blessing in the heavenly places. This does not mean that food and clothing are not something we do not thank God for. We do thank Him for it. But Paul is telling us about what is ours in the future. Now we are on this earth, and the blessings that are for the body of Christ can't be seen. We will enter into those blessings when we appear with Christ in glory. We can thank God for them now and live in the atmosphere of the blessed future that's before us. No wonder Paul said, "Speak well of the God and Father." Have you thanked Him for these blessings? We have spiritual blessings, and because of that, we should sing spiritual songs. See Ephesians 5. How many hymns are not spiritual today? They never discuss our present blessings. They mix the body of Christ and Israel, and thus we have non-spiritual songs. Even our songs need to follow the principle of right division. So we have unique blessings. They're spiritual. These blessings are to be enjoyed in a unique place, in the heavenly places. Now, this phrase is only used in Ephesians, the phrase in the heavenly places. Our blessings are not just heavenly in character. The New Jerusalem is a heavenly city, but it will not be enjoyed in heaven itself. It is heavenly in character. But we have blessings that will be enjoyed in the heavenly places. Now this phrase, in the heavenly places, is used 5 times, and it's only used in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:3, we see it's the place of blessing for the body of Christ. In Ephesians 1:20, it is the place where Christ now sits. In Ephesians 2:6-7, it is the place where we will be on display in the oncoming eons. In Ephesians 3:10, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places will be learning God's manifold wisdom through us. And by the way, these are not angels, these are the aristocracy of celestial beings. And in Ephesians 6, we see it's our place of warfare. So look up each one of those references and see the meaning of in heavenly places. Now notice finally in verse 3, these blessings are in Christ. No longer are we Gentiles blessed with Abraham in Christ as during the Acts period, but now we are blessed in and with Christ. Abrahamic blessing does not reach beyond this earth, and the blessings of the body are not connected with Abraham and Israel at all. We have unique blessings, spiritual blessings, that will be enjoyed in a unique place in the heavenly places. Let us say together, "Blessed be God who has blessed us." And in closing, let's read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father. Now let's say that right. Speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing that can be called spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.